This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We are live today from Manchester, New Hampshire. And if you want to see us in action, check out the video feed from our mobile studios here at WBUR.org. We're sharing our studios with NPR. And if you're careful, you might be able to see Robert Siegel or Mara Elias, and I've seen them floating around here. But, Anthony, when you put your ear to the ground, as you and I have been over the past couple of days up here in New Hampshire, you hear that even the candidates are running this race as if it's Mitt Romney's to lose.
He says, I'm going to be, you know, I've got business experience. Well, business experience doesn't necessarily match up with being the commander-in-chief of this country.
I believe in the Second Amendment rights. He actually raised taxes on guns. So I think there are a number of those things we can draw a sharp distinction.
But I don't see how we can do well against Obama if we have any candidate that, you know, endorsed, you know, single-payer systems and TARP bailouts and don't challenge the Federal Reserve's $15 trillion of injection bailing out their friends.
The people of New Hampshire don't want a coronation. You know what I mean? They want people to earn the vote.
But for his part, Mitt Romney has tried to remain above the fray.
If there's a candidate who thinks this campaign is about them, they're wrong. This is a campaign about America and about keeping this country true to the principles upon which it was founded.
Still, the latest Suffolk University tracking poll has the former Massachusetts governor pulling in 33% of likely New Hampshire voters. That's a drop of 10 points from where he was last Tuesday after winning the Iowa caucuses.
Joining us now here in Manchester to talk about it are two of New Hampshire's top political analysts. James Pindle is political director at WMUR-TV. Welcome, James.
Glad to be back, and welcome to New Hampshire.
It's good to be in your house for once.
And Andy Smith, professor of political science and director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Welcome to you. Great to have you back.
Thanks. Always glad to be here.
Gentlemen, let's start with these latest polls. And Andy Smith, let me start with you. What are your latest numbers telling you about the state of this race?
We're still seeing Romney holding up pretty well. We have him at 41%. Ron Paul at 17%, Santorum and Huntsman tied at 11%, and Newt Gingrich at 8%. So a little bit higher, but, you know, people make up their minds in the last couple of days here. These things could move around in the next few days. So as a pollster, I'd say don't look at the polls today as predictive of what's going to happen on Tuesday.
Sure, and one of the reasons you can't look at them as predictive is because of these huge numbers of undecided voters that seem to fluctuate, even fluctuate from poll to poll. Suffolk has it in the teens. WMUR, James Pindle says it's 50% plus. What do we make of these undecided?
WMUR, because of Andy, our other guest here, who's our pollster. You got the duo team. I mean, yeah, right. Andy goes further than Suffolk. He asks the top line in terms of who do you like, Santorum, Romney, et cetera. I also don't know. And then he drills down and says, okay, I know you told me Mitt Romney, but have you definitely made up your mind or not? And those who definitely made up, leaning one way or haven't decided. And if you add up the leaning and haven't decided, you get to 56%. And his poll was finished, I believe, 6 o'clock last night. So this shows you how wide open this primary still is, and people are still making up their minds.
Mm. And in terms of this slight tightening of the race, depending on which poll you look at, Romney seems to be losing some support. I'd argue that this isn't surprising in the final hours as more and more people are beginning to really look closely and make up their minds. Is that your view, Andy, or is there something else happening here?
Absolutely. We've seen this happen time after time in New Hampshire. If you have a front runner that gets way far ahead of the other candidates, they typically tend to drift back as you get closer to the election, in part because, you know, perhaps some of their supporters say it's not really worth it. I don't have to come out and vote or take a flyer on one of the other candidates. So it's not unusual. And the campaigns now are actually fully integrated. They're working hard right now. They're really doing their best to try to reach those other voters that may have heard of Romney and liked him because they didn't know much about the other candidates. And now they're starting to firm up about who they're going to vote for. So things can shift around a lot and have historically.
And one of the big stories that we'll all be watching tomorrow is who emerges in second place, who leaves New Hampshire with bragging rights as the alternative to Mitt Romney. Any sense about sort of where this story is going, James Pindle?
Look, I mean, in terms of these undecided voters, I think the sound you got earlier was very good and very reflective of where candidates are. I mean, number one, if you are undecided, if you already made up your mind about Mitt Romney, that's sort of the dynamic that's gone on in this race. So clearly you're making up your mind about someone who's not Mitt Romney? Or at the same time, do you like to be with the winner? And Andy's research has shown that people like to be with the winner. And the poll he came out with on our station last night showed that 78% of people believe that Mitt Romney is going to win the New Hampshire primary. So that's for the dynamic. But as for your particular question, look, the race from second to fifth is completely wide open. When people say who's going to the New Hampshire primary, I like that question. It's Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. We do have a Democratic primary. When they ask me who's going to be in fourth, I don't like that question because I have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, one of the other major stories, which seems to just be emerging today, I wonder if it might be it's too late for it to actually have an impact on the New Hampshire primary, but I've got to ask you because it has to do with Mitt Romney, and that is this sudden surge of interest in his time when he was at Bain Capital and whether or not he actually was a job creator. Now, down in Massachusetts, this has been well covered for a long period of time. I mean, people have read extensively about the fact that Bain Capital closed down KB Toys out in western Massachusetts, and Mitt Romney benefited through some sort of retirement package from the loss of some 500 jobs there. But why is this emerging right now as a story? Could it have an impact on Mitt Romney here in New Hampshire?
Anything that comes out negative against a candidate at the end is going to have some impact, but it also becomes somewhat noise in all of the stuff that's going on over this weekend. Romney's got a big advantage in that he's running television ads. There's only two other candidates that are running television ads here, Ron Paul and John Huntsman. So if Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum are making attacks against Romney on issues like Bain or other things over this weekend, who's going to listen to them? Unless it's reported in the press, the regular voters out there aren't going to hear about it.
Interesting. We were talking earlier about John Huntsman and this mini surge he seems to be enjoying. He's put all his eggs in the New Hampshire basket. What does he have to do to be able to carry this campaign beyond New Hampshire? Let me start with you, Andy. You're gritting your teeth and shaking your head.
Well, the biggest problem for John Huntsman is he's doing a really good job running for the Democratic vote. People are going to show up in the Republican primary. Among those undeclared or independent voters who are really Democrats, he's getting 39% of the vote there. But among registered Republicans and undeclareds who identify as Republicans, he's getting about 5% of the vote. So he's just limited himself by going to essentially the smallest part of the electorate. So I think he's kind of capped. Mm.
But nevertheless, if, say, he pulls in a remarkable second place here in New Hampshire, he's had that all-in Granite State strategy. Right. Where does he take that momentum if he doesn't have a ground game set up in South Carolina?
Well, look, I mean, this is all – no one drops out of the presidential race because they lose states. They drop out because they're broke. And if John Huntsman cannot find a way to raise money off of a performance in New Hampshire, and theoretically he could come in fourth. If he convinces people it was such an amazing fourth place, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just saying in theory, it's all about the money. It's the only reason Rick Perry's still in this race is he has $3 million.
Interesting. Andy Smith, I want to ask you.
And by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. All he has to do, unlike every other candidate in this race, all he has to do is convince his dad to put in some money.
His dad
can run the Super PAC, who's one of the richest men in America.
I wanted to ask a question about the famous New Hampshire independent voter and where independent voters are moving in this primary campaign. Might be useful, though, to define what do we mean exactly by, you know, who are the independents in New Hampshire?
And actually, it's a misleading term to call them independents. The legal term is undeclared.
Right.
And I think when you think about them, you have to think of it as three separate groups. The undeclareds who are really Republicans, the undeclareds who are really Democrats, and then the truly independent undeclareds. And they behave very differently. If you look at the electorate on Tuesday, we anticipate that about 60% of the voters are going to be registered Republicans. About 20% are going to be undeclareds who lean Republican, who think of themselves as Republican, and they frankly behave just about the same as the registered Republicans do. Mitt Romney territory. The undeclareds who are really Democrats, John Huntsman's doing great there, but he's somewhat capped because there aren't that many of them. That's about 10% of the electorate. And then the other 10% of the electorate are going to be those undeclareds that are truly independent, and that's where you see Ron Paul doing better. So when we think about the undeclareds, you can't think about them as this monolithic block of people. There are three separate segments of people.
I have to ask a question about the super PACs, which we were just briefly talking about, because we saw, I mean, this is the first election cycle in which they've sort of been able to operate no holds barred. We saw the effect they had in Iowa with that onslaught of negative advertising against Newt Gingrich. Have they been as prominent here in New Hampshire?
No. I mean, and as I work at a television station, I would like to say at one end, I'm upset about that. I would like to get a raise with all these Super PAC ads. At the other hand, it really has not played a role, and that's probably a good thing. But the reality is with Mitt Romney having such a large lead here, and he's the one with the really well-funded Super PAC, he has had no reason to really invest. While, I mean, the only Super PAC that's really invested has been John Huntsman's Super PAC. It's been basically positive ads for John Huntsman.
One more question, and I'd like to ask this to both of you. What is different this time around? What's going on differently in New Hampshire compared to past primary election cycles? Andy Smith.
First off, there's only one primary, so it's always a little bit more diminished. But the biggest thing is that Mitt Romney has been the front runner in this primary since 2009 when we started polling in February of that year. Mm. He's had a double-digit lead or a triple-digit lead over all of the other Republican candidates throughout that period. The lay on top of that, he's the most popular Republican who's running in the state. He's got the highest favorability ratings. And then if that isn't enough, he's got the most money and the best organization. So largely the other campaigns have ceded this race to Romney. They decided they don't have very much in the way of resources, so they've gone to Iowa or South Carolina.
And you add on to that something that's happened nationwide in Iowa, in South Carolina, and Nevada. There really hasn't been much of a retail campaign in the first place. And then you add on everything else that Andy mentioned. I mean, this race was very late to getting started. And then on top of that, to be a credible candidate for president, and some of these folks aren't credible candidates for president. They're doing it to sell books or whatever else, whatever other agenda. But if you're going to be a serious candidate for president, you have to figure out how are you going to go against an incumbent president who could raise $1 billion. And where electability is an issue for Republicans. And so a lot of these folks had to spend time raising money in California, New York, and Florida, and less time at diner stops and dairy.
Hmm. That's James Pindle. He's political director at WMUR-TV. Thanks so much, Mr. Pindle.
Thank you.
And Andy Smith, professor of politics at the University of New Hampshire. Thank you so much as well.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, a closer look at the candidates' ad push in New Hampshire, seeking to reach those still undecideds like these folks we talked to this weekend.
My name is Colette, and I'm from here in Bedford.
Mike, here in Bedford.
I'm actually probably going to go and vote for Obama.
I'm going to cancel her out and probably vote for John Huntsman.
Ned Quigley, Manchester, New Hampshire. I'm 98% certain. Mitt Romney. I like what he has to say, but I also truly believe he's going to be our best opportunity to beat Barack Obama, which is definitely very important to me.
My name is Felicia Whitney. I'm the co-owner of J. Dove's Coffee on Elm Street in Manchester, New Hampshire. You know, it's a toss-up. I like Huntsman a lot. I like Romney a lot, but I'm not sure if Romney can win it. He might be a little bit surprised when the polls close and he doesn't do as well as he thinks he's going to do.
Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.